Very quiet this morning. Just a couple of things to watch out for. 95 southbound at the Fort McHenry Tunnel, clearing a disabled vehicle from the right side there. 95 northbound before Route 2, Hanover Street, left side's blocked, clearing some debris. And 95 northbound at Key Highway, just getting a report of a crash. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's Sports Talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Tuesday night at the yard. Some timely hitting gets the birds back in the win column.
Rutschman left center field. That's a carbon copy. Two RBI singles in the game, both the other way. And the Orioles open the lead up to 5-1.
The call from Kevin Brown on Masson. Adley drives in Gunner in the bottom of the seventh, the 2019 draft special right there, as the O's take a 5-1 lead. They'd hold on and take game one from the Astros by a score of 5-3. Samuel Basayo would get in on the hit parade as well, going 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Pete Alonso would go yard, a two-run shot in the fifth, his fourth of the year. Not to be outdone by the bats, starter Shane Boz looked good as he captured the first win of his Orioles career, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball, striking out six. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the three-game set. And the fam will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles Pub, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Ariosa Mechanical. Ready to build a real career and not just a paycheck? Ariosa Mechanical is hiring skilled commercial foremen and mechanics right now. Join our team at ariosamechanical.com. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Rob, Jeremy, Ed, and Joe, the Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Get your feet on the floor, jumpstart your day on this hump day Wednesday. Baltimore surrounding areas. What's going on, Jeremy Kahn?
What's up, man?
This microphone's very loose.
Well, my mic sounds nice. Check one. Yeah, we're good. Sibilance. Sibilance. I think everything's fine over here.
Think so.
Yeah. I was just going to say to you, I watched a bunch of baseball yesterday. You know what's funny is I feel like I haven't, except on the weekends and Friday night, been watching as much NBA playoffs as I typically would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feels weird to me.
Yeah, you saying that is kind of weird.
And I don't know if it's just because it's the morning or, you know, like I'm going to bed and I'm like, you know what? I ain't staying up for this. Because a lot of these first round series, I hate saying it, I didn't care too much about because... I was one that said I don't see very many upsets in the first round.
And however,
yeah, that being said, I mean, there have been a couple here that have been more interesting.
I'm surprised the Sixers are still around. 3-2 now after last night's win?
Yeah.
Embiid, 33 points?
That's crazy.
Didn't I read that the Celtics were held to 11 points in the fourth quarter?
That's good because I had the under. Okay. Then it worked out. I really haven't. Again, when you looked at the Sixers, you thought this isn't what necessarily has happened. The Celtics would run roughshod over them.
Right.
The Orlando Magic, or as they were calling them, the Tragic down the stretch, they coming in and beating up on the Pistons, which you're going, what in the hell?
They have a chance to close that series out tonight in Detroit. Will Detroit stave off elimination because they're home, or will they just... Because I can't see them going Cancun, not a number one seed.
Well... I mean, you know what happened is Orlando got healthy at the right time, and the number one seed is playing a team that should not be the number eight seed.
We had, you said it, Jim Traver said it, that they're not your typical number eight seed. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not even
They stunk down the stretch.
But let me say this, though. The Pistons are still the number one seed. So that means there should be favors against anybody. They're the number one seed.
Not arguing that at all. I'm shocked. I mean, yeah. I'm not like... This isn't me saying, oh, I told you Orlando was going to keep it close. No, I just didn't see that happening. And I guess when you start looking at some of the other series, the weird thing is the Rockets were favored, but they laid down like dogs. And then now they're down in an elimination game in L.A. tonight where they were they were like, what was it, 6 or 7 point favorites going into L.A. And now they're 2.5 point underdogs for the way they played.
Did you read ESPN, Bill Barnwell? He did 12 situations that compare to Ty Simpson, Matthew Stafford.
I did not read that.
He did Michael Penix Jr. with Kirk Cousins.
Didn't work out.
He said Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers.
Jury's still out, but you like Love more than you like some of these other guys.
Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco.
Is that really one?
I think so. You talking about the incumbent and you draft somebody in the first round?
Well, Flacco was getting towards the end of his tenure here, right? Like you.
So
was
Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
See, don't compare the quarterback compared to situation.
Gotcha.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Compare the situation.
That's fair.
Patrick, you did this one. Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith.
Yep.
Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford. I forgot about that. Carson Wentz came in when Sam Bradford was supposed to be the man. Blaine Gabbert, David Garrard.
Hold on. Sam Bradford and Carson Wentz. Where was that?
Philly.
Sam Bradford to Philly?
Sam Bradford was the guy.
The Rams drafted.
Yeah. No.
Sam Bradford. The
Rams drafted. Didn't draft Carson Wentz. The Rams drafted Jared Goff.
You said Sam Bradford.
Yeah. He was with the Eagles.
What am I missing, man?
I'm pretty sure he was with the Eagles. He was 29 years old, got traded. Yeah.
You mean when they drafted Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Yes. Again, Sam Bradford at that point isn't, he's not your.
But they had just traded for him.
He just bounced around the league, though.
But they traded for him. He was supposed to be their guy.
Okay. 19 touchdowns, 14 picks his first year with Philly.
Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer.
I wouldn't even have considered that one.
Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Dante Culpepper, Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, the other one that I would look at too is like, I think when you're looking at each one individually, where did they draft them? Did you take one of these guys in the top five, top 10? Or did you pull off what, you know, like the Lamar issue is Lamar was drafted as one of the last picks in the first round.
They traded back up to get him. Aaron Rodgers was drafted at the end of the first round.
But you get what I'm saying is they drafted Hayden Hurst before him, so you still felt like you used your first round pick on a player to help you now.
True.
And then you took the shot on the future here, and it pretty much worked out, at least for the second pick.
I will go to my grave believing Lamar Jackson was a result of a GM who knew he was taking over the next year wanting to get back in the first round to get his quarterback. I will go to my grave believing that.
I'm not arguing.
I will go to my grave believing you had a GM who knew and number five was not his quarterback. So he wanted to get back into the first round somehow without sacrificing the rest of the draft to get his quarterback.
The weird thing is, like, Joe Flacco has put together a pretty amazing career. Like, even after that year of watching him going, yeah, he's not, this dog don't hunt no more. He bounced around to like six different teams, from Denver to Indy to every team in the AFC North, you know, except Pittsburgh, right?
See, this is where you and I are going to have a problem.
What?
The word you used. There's nothing amazing. The only thing amazing about Flacco's career is that 4 weeks in 2012. There's nothing else amazing.
Oh, I think the longevity is amazing. I thought he was done in 2018 and he's still quarterbacking.
I don't think he's amazing.
Okay.
I think it's solid.
I think it's looking at this day and age when you don't see people playing it, like he's coming in as an afterthought and playing better than the guys in front of him.
I just can't say amazing. Other than the 4 weeks in 2012, that was amazing. Absolutely. When a guy has a career quarterback passer rating of 84 and completion percentage of 61, solid. He's solid.
Outside of the Super Bowl run, you could compare him to a guy like Vinny Testaverde, even though Testaverde was throwing more. You know, like you spent years playing, but still played at a fairly high level towards the end. That's what I think is amazing. To be able to play this long in this league.
Okay, he played. Flacco's what, 18 years he played? Testaverde did 21. Would you say Testaverde's career was amazing?
I said the longevity. I didn't say Joe Flacco's career was amazing. I said, with his longevity, it's amazing to see a player like this. This is, I mean, I think it's kind of special to watch a guy that's still playing this way.
21 years? That's not right, is it?
Yeah. Well, you go back to it. Who scored the first touchdown in Ravens history?
21 years.
Vinny Testaverde.
This guy played until he was 44.
Yes. Where did he finish?
And Jeremy. Jets? No, Carolina. Jeremy, he played. He started six games at 44 in 07.
Amazing. Rob, say it with me. Amazing.
No, it's not amazing.
It is amazing. You're anti-elderly.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm becoming elderly.
I know. That's why it's weird.
I'll be anti. I hate me.
I hate you old asses.
Good baseball last night. Orioles getting off the snide. 2-game losing streak. Lots going on with Diego Pavia, right?
Pavia.
We'll talk about that as well. We got a lot going on for you today. Got some NBA. Brian McFarland going to weigh in on what's going on with the Ravens as well. Mike Bordick, Ben Wagner. We got you all day. And, of course, Ed Norris joins us at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Orioles take on the Houston Astros last night. Houston, best hitting team in baseball. Did you know that, Jeremy?
I didn't know that.
Statistically. Houston, worst pitching team in baseball.
I knew that.
Statistically. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Traffic sponsored by JATC Local 24.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Outer loop of the Beltway before Dulaney Valley Road, clearing some debris from the roadway there. Use caution. Inner loop of the Beltway before Liberty Road, just getting reported of an accident. 95 southbound at the Fort McHenry Tunnel, clearing a disabled vehicle from the right side. And northbound on 95 before Route 2 Hanover Street, left side's blocked, clearing debris there. 95 northbound at Key Highway, there's an accident. I'm Scott Brady with traffic. Looking for a great opportunity where you can earn while you learn? Check out the Electrical Apprenticeship Program at JATC Local 24. Go to JATC24.org for more info.
Update from the Yard is sponsored by Farnan and Dermer. Beat this summer heat. Call the comfort guys at Farnan and Dermer for their $89 precision tune-up to make sure your system is in tip-top shape. Call 410-367-7777.
In the air to right field. That ball is headed for the flag court.
On 105.7, The Fan.
A bunt laid down to third. Alexander, the defensive replacement, throws him out to end the ball game. That's why he's in there. Helsley with a 1-2-3 ninth. And the Orioles take the opener 5-3 with the Astros.
That call courtesy of Masson Sports. You heard Kevin Brown on the final call. Birds win 5-3 over the Houston Astros. Orioles score 2 in the first with a couple of doubles, base hit, making things happen in the middle of their order. Then they came back after Houston scored. Cut the lead in half at the top of the fifth. They scored 2 in the bottom of the fifth. Tacked on another run in the seventh inning, thank goodness, because Houston would score 2 in the eighth. They win, getting off the snide. Once again, find themselves 1 game under 500. 500 at home now. 8-8 at home. Gunnar Henderson with the hit. Adley Rutschman and Sam Basayo. How about your catchers? Go 4-for-8 in the game with 3 RBI.
Remember all the people wanted to get rid of Adley for anything? Just get something for him. You got Basile. It's a nice situation with the way these two are swinging. I was just saying to you, I think it was JCM that put out, Alonzo's been hitting better in the past week. If you start to look at his numbers, looking like maybe he's turning that corner. But again, it's a small sample size. And you brought it up to me. We were talking pre-show. Like Gunnar just making things happen late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Gunnar, you needed that other extra run. Gunnar gets on via walk. With 2 outs.
And what's he do when you second? Walk him? He steals.
He steals second. Yeah, you want to walk me? All right, I'll make you pay for
I'm
it.
I'm taking 2.
By the way, you know he has 5 stolen bases on a year?
He's
on that pace again for 30 stolen bases. But he steals second base. Adley Rutschman goes opposite field for the base hit. He ain't throwing Gunnar out with 2 out base hit. When he's running on contact, you're not doing it. And he scores a run. He just does. I pointed it out last year to our producers. We wanted to do something at the end of the year. He said, what feature do you want to do in the final game of the year? It was up in New York. I said, on Pigpen, Gunnar. I said, just give me highlights of Gunner taking the extra base, stealing bases,
sliding into home,
I said, give, and I want the final cut to be Gunner standing on a base with his uniform covered in dirt. Give me a game. How many games do you see Gunner Henderson come out with a clean uniform?
Not often. And then the other thing about it too is like you could even put in, and I know it sounds simplistic to people, but it is important. We talk about good base runners and everybody just attributes it to stealing bases.
Right.
No, it's reading the baseball. Mm-hmm. It's being able to go first to third and forcing a throw. Cause sometimes even when they throw to third, it allows other people to move up. And then, you know, when you're forcing them to throw the baseball, every once in a while, good things happen.
Not only that, but good base runners score from first on doubles.
Yes.
They track the ball. It's not just speed. It's knowing how to hit the corner of the bag and cut off your turn. And
rounding that base.
Exactly. That's what it's about. And you see those guys get it done. But, you know, going back to Adley, you know Adley has an OPS of over 1,000 right now? His slugging is, his on-base percentage is 400. His slugging is 618. Mm. 400 on-base percentage. And then Samuel Basayo, on-base percentage of 333, which is good, man. And his slugging is 468. So you're getting that kind of productivity out of the catcher's position. And I know one's DH and the other's catching, but it's still, those are your two catchers on the roster.
Yep. I mean, look, I think they still got a long ways to go to prove a lot of things. One win against a bad Astros team doesn't say much. You got to come back out today. Need to see Chris Bassitt put together some starts. Mm-hmm. You know, like understanding who he is at this point of his career, but you need to see him string something together that looks a little bit more formidable than what we've seen in the beginning.
Now, Jeremy, I know you felt good last night seeing your boy Shane Baz do well.
I told you.
2/3 inning, one earned run, 6 hits.
I said to you, it's the Shane Baz. I feel like it was the Shane Baz game last night because he has this type of stuff.
He does.
And he talked about it. It's the best hitting lineup in baseball or best scoring lineup with the Astros. And a lot of that has to do with if you haven't looked at what Yordan Alvarez is doing, I told you, I'd probably walk him every time his ass comes up.
He walked the bases loaded. So you know what? We're gonna load these bases up. Ain't nobody pitching.
Then the winning run comes to the plate. Yeah. You're going, I don't know if I want to do that.
I do.
Yeah. I don't want him tying the game. Let this cat beat us.
Yeah. I know if I want to do that.
I want anyone not named Yordan to beat me.
I'm gonna say this: the defense caused Boz, in my opinion, that quality start.
Yeah.
That ball hit the right field. It's two outs. It's no one on. You got to lay out for that. There's nobody on. Lay out for it. Beavers comes in and he pulls up. No, dude, lay out for that. Get your pitcher out of this inning. Get him his quality start. So that flare to right field and then a swinging bunt down the third base. I thought Mayo made a good play on it. He missed him by a step. That wasn't defense forsaking you. I thought Mayo made a good play. Mayo made one play early. Barehanded throw, Alonzo scooped it out. Good play by both. And another ball hit similar to that, better base runner, and Mayo just missed it by a step. So I'm not talking about that defense, but I think, in my opinion, Beavers, no one's on base, two outs, lay out for that ball.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, like, would have been nice to see the quality start for him and something. Like, because I feel like doesn't happen usually with vet pitchers. You see it with the younger guys where some people are like, why'd you take him out? I wanted him to leave on one of the best notes possible. There's the chance of leaving him in.
There's that.
And seeing him, like, especially a third or fourth time through the lineup, and you go, let's take him out now.
The time run was at the plate.
Yeah. So I get it. You go to what your best is. You switch it up there at that point because you're – what did your buddy Herm Edwards say? I know you don't like him.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
Hello. We heard you, man. You don't have to say it twice.
Hello? Maybe
is that
that's our
Trippy got it from?
Maybe that's our Herm Edwards.
Is that what Trippy got it from?
Hey, Herm.
Man, why you do that? You know Trippy.
What? Hello?
What? You didn't even listen to the radio. You heard his name.
No, this isn't like Rashawn with the bat signal going up anytime somebody says they Cowboys.
Trippy does not have to listen to the show, but if you say his name, he's like Beetlejuice.
Don't say his name three times. He's just going to peer over here. Hello? Jesus, where'd you come from?
State Farm. No, but I thought Kittredge did a good job also. He gave up two.
hits, and then he did intentional walk.
Oh, and then the strikeout. Say, good night.
He wiggles his way out of that.
Yeah.
That's a man right there. Getcher is a good having him back as well. Nunez, not a very good outing last night, but he gets out of it after one inning. I thought Helsley was sick.
Are you?
Helsley was sick last night.
I don't want to say, are you changing your opinion, but is he growing on you at all?
Who?
Helsley.
Yes. Yes. He's grown on me a tad bit. I didn't realize his ERA got another 3. He's 2.53 now. He started off 2.7, I think, last night.
Yeah.
I looked up at his earned run now. I was like, oh, when did that come down? He's growing on me. He is. I liked him. Listen, I was a Helsley fan.
You didn't know if you want him as your closer.
I didn't. There you go. Bottom line. I was a Helsley fan, especially with St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a down year according to his standards last year.
Yeah.
And then there were people going, what's going on with him? And then towards the end of the season, you were like, oh, he looks better than what we thought.
Right.
And then that kind of gave you, you know, an inclination in the offseason that maybe that's a guy that you want to go grab.
There's no one else currently on the team that I would rather be in that role.
Yeah.
I just didn't know whether I wanted him in that role. If someone said right now, if not Helsley, then who? Well, nobody's on the roster.
Yeah, you brought up something yesterday, or maybe it was the other day off the air. Were we talking about Batista? And like when he, I think it was you and I, when he comes back or when he's eligible to come back, if he ever comes
September.
Back, you know, like you still have a situation where both of those guys, I don't think either wants to be the setup guy, but both of those guys have set up and closed. You have your options there. Like Helsley could be a guy that if Batista ever comes back healthy and looks like himself, that you could have that 1-2 punch. But you don't.
Tommy John surgery is different from shoulder surgery, my man. It's different. I'm not sitting here saying he won't.
I'm saying
I'm not expecting. I think Batista will spend some time contemplating whether or not he needs to redefine himself. I think he can still get outs. I just don't know. I'm not betting either way on this guy. I'm not betting against him. I'm not betting for him. I'm just going to sit back and wait because I think I know what he made himself into. Look at Batista's minor league career and look what he turned himself into.
Yeah.
So based on what he's done already, says I'm not betting against him, but I also know how tough it is with the shoulder.
Yep.
410-583-1057 is the number. This is right down your alley, Jeremy Kahn. Has legalized gambling started a problem in sports or revealed an existing one? We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, Jeremy, I got this stat. I know you are a numbers man. And I looked at the Orioles and what they did when they get to the bullpen. And you and I are going to weigh in on the best way to get to the bullpen. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
This is The Fan, baby.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan. If you're thinking about it.
Every day.
We're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan. From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
95 northbound before Route 2, Hanover Street, left side's blocked, clearing some debris there. 95 northbound at Key Highway, there's an accident. Watch for direction. And then 95 southbound at the Fort McHenry Tunnel, just cleared a disabled vehicle from the right side. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles outlasted the Astros last night 5-3 with Adley Rutschman driving in a pair, Pete Alonso going yard, and Samuel Basayo staying hot with a 2-for-4 night. On the mound, Shane Boz got the W, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball while striking out 6. Shane had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's beginning to show signs of the guy that the Birds invested a lot of money in moving forward. Here's skipper Craig Albernaz on another strong start by Boz.
Boz looked great today. He did a good job of getting the cutter going. He had all three fastball shapes going. The cutter, the sinker, and the four-seam. And four-seam had great life in the strike zone. And then when he's doing that, it just sets up the curveball. And the curveball had really good bite to it. Started just on the same plane as the heater, and it just disappeared. So he was really effective tonight, throwing strikes. It was a really good outing for Shane.
Last night's start lowered Boz's ERA from 5.08 to 4.5, and he's pitched at least 5 innings in all 6 of his starts this season. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the 3-game series. And the fan will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30. First pitch is slated for 6:35. And in Ravens news, Baltimore signed a pair of undrafted QBs yesterday, giving three-year deals to Vanderbilt product and former Heisman Trophy finalist Diego Pavia and UConn's Joe Fagnano. Those two will be present at the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by McDonald's. Downloading the McDonald's app has its privileges. Order your favorites ahead of time, save money with app-exclusive deals, earn free food, and get your favorites delivered with McDelivery. So stop wasting time and order from the McDonald's app today. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
That's disappointing. You just said Roadhouse to Jess seven times, and I'm sitting here looking at it the whole time thinking, Jeremy, I would bet you the next paycheck that she's never seen Roadhouse. I said, did you see it? She said, no.
So peek behind
that
curtain.
That conversation meant nothing to her.
Yeah, as I ordered a bunch of graphic tees. I saw Rob wasn't going to be the only one wearing some great tees in here. So I ordered a bunch, and of the 12 or so that I ordered, seven of them were Patrick Swayze t-shirts.
Because we know how you feel about Swayze.
But I was telling Jess, that's disappointing to hear that there are people out here that have not seen the original Roadhouse.
She's 12.
Okay. Well,
she's younger than Joe.
I'm not blaming her parents. She's old enough now to go out there and see that movie on her own, see an 80s classic.
How about a 40-something-year-old that was in their 40s that never saw The Godfather?
Ugh.
That exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I corrected that. So the Orioles' numbers are going to be really interesting to you, Jeremy. Let me give you their overall numbers, all right? Offensively, we're talking about offensively. As a team, they're batting .240 with a .321 on-base percentage, 401 slugging, and 723 OPS. Those are their raw stats. Now, when you get to the bullpen, they're batting .261 as opposed to .240. So that tells you how bad they're going against the starters. Their on-base percentage, .343 as opposed to the overall .321. Their slugging, .429 as opposed to the overall .401. And their OPS, .772. Which is almost 50 points higher than the overall. So that tells you the difference. So the key to the Orioles offensively is to get to the bullpen. That takes strategy. If you are the hitting coach, if you are in charge of Orioles offensively, how do you get to the bullpen? Because I got some numbers on that too.
Yeah, because look, this is, for me, it's a catch-22 because I think you have to do both. But yeah, you have to have a healthy mix. It's like we were talking about. So you have your option of, do you want to ambush pitchers? Are you studying, you know, film to sit here and say, this guy loves to get over on his first pitch. He throws a first pitch strike every single time. Do I want to ambush this guy? And is it first pitch fastball? Is that what we're looking for? You know, there was that big thing with Adley where they were going, he always takes the first pitch. So when they started facing him, they kept throwing the first pitch as a strike because they knew they were going to get ahead in the count because Adley's not going to swing at it. And then he had to change it up. I believe more in taking pitches, you know, seeing it, how it goes. But you have to have a healthy mixture of ambush and being patient. I prefer being more patient overall.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, sometimes, like, if you're ambushing and coming up and just looking first pitch, I'm trying to swing at that first pitch because he's going to throw a strike over. It's going to be probably the best pitch I get to hit. If you're doing that and you're popping it up or hammering it into the ground, all of a sudden you look up, you're like, oh, Max Fried just threw six pitches and got three outs. That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And then that puts you behind in trying to get that starting pitcher out. At worst, if you're even taking pitches and working counts, you're at least building that pitch count up to try to get him out of the game. So I think more times than not, it's being patient, but also knowing when to ambush. And I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for.
A not so wise man once said, the math works. That was Jeremy, not so wise.
Yeah.
In sports, you believe in the math, am I right?
Yes.
When it comes to sports. All right, so let me give you the math. Swinging at first pitch, that will be ambushing. The numbers, .211, .240 on base percentage.
By the way, if we didn't see each other for 40 years and all of a sudden you were walking down the street and you looked over and said, hey, it's Levin, I would just start dying. Levin.
All right. In the ambush, batting average of .211. I'm going to give you all the numbers that you believe in. Slugging, on base percentage, .240. That's not good. Slugging, 297. 297 slugging. That's a bad on base percentage, Jeremy. And the OPS, 537. But that's ambushing. Also, they have four home runs ambushing too. Now, if I go to taking the first pitch, it's not a pitch by pitch thing. It's just taking it after you take the first pitch. Now the batting average goes up to 254. The on base percentage 356. You're talking about 116 points higher. The slugging, it goes from 297 to 451, and the OPS goes from 537 to 808. The math says what, Jeremy?
Wait. Be patient.
And I see, and I'm not going to say too often, but in 300, they've done this in 333 plate appearances, swing at the first pitch. In 764 plate appearances, they've taken the first pitch. What are the numbers? 333.
That's even larger numbers.
333 is not a small sample size.
No, but even when you look at the other side of that's a large sample size when you're talking about taking the first pitch. The other thing here, too, is with a team of guys that we had coming in struggling offensively, right. Do you feel like when players press, they tend to swing more at that first pitch?
Yes. You know why? Because, again, I only played college baseball. But when I'm not hitting well, I don't want the pitcher to get ahead, so I'm more aggressive. And that leads to me swinging at a pitcher strike. There's a difference between a strike and a pitcher strike. If I'm up, what I like to do, Jeremy, with less than two strikes, I like the keyhole. That means I'm looking in a certain area, and the keyhole is really small.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking in that small area early in the count, and that's the only thing I'm swinging at. I don't expand the strike zone unless I'm trailing in the count two strikes. Or I have two strikes on me at all. Other than that, I'm keyholing. Now, if you're slumping, you're not thinking that way. You're thinking, oh, my God, I haven't had a hit in a week. I don't want this pitcher to get two strikes on me because I'm struggling right now. So you tend to be less selective because you become anxious.
Look, there are times that hitters obviously get fooled, you know, and you'll see guys. I mean, I watched Gunner the other day expecting a different pitch and got a fastball right down the, like he was expecting a breaking ball. And before he knew it, he just froze. He couldn't swing. And then he's not challenging it. He knows it's a strike. Yeah. He just walks off the field.
He's some bitch.
There. But you also have guys up there that I think, you know how in basketball, we'll talk about a player who touches the ball and scores a lot, and he hasn't touched the ball five times down the court, and you're looking at each other going, he's shooting this damn thing, isn't
exactly.
he? To me, like, there are batters that go up saying, okay, this is my pitch, I'm swinging at this one, and then get caught up and then realize it's not the pitch they thought they were getting, and then get hung up, and you see those half-assed check swings that go through or the really bad swings, and you're like, the hell was he doing? He was clearly looking for something else.
Well, that's why it's thought that some hitters, one of the hitters that they concern themselves with is Colton Cowser, doesn't pick up spin. Because if you're a hitter that picks up spin and you keyhole early in the count, you know, well, that's not a fastball, so I'm not swinging at that.
Yeah.
If you can't pick up spin, that thing's backspinning, you know that's a fastball. If you get any kind of spin on it, any kind of other spin on, the only thing you should be fooled from, in my opinion, based on spin, maybe fastball changeup, maybe, because the spin could be similar. Anything else, the spin's not going to be similar. So if you can't pick up spin, then you're probably not a hitter that can be more selective. You're probably more of a see the ball, hit the ball, or a guess hitter. I think that's what Chris Davis was. I think he was more of a guess hitter who didn't pick up spin.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, but you mentioned Gunnar Henderson. Yesterday I went around the clubhouse in the locker room, in the donor lockers, asking guys what they did on their off day. That's the feature I did on the game last night. So Gunner told me something, and I said, and I repeated what he said because I couldn't quite hear him. He said, yes, sir. And as I was walking away, I looked back. He said, yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
Started with
yes,
a sir. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on the team's two new quarterbacks that will be the Ravens. But on the other side, has legalized gambling started a problem in sports, or has it revealed an existing one? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
What's left for the Ravens to sort out after adding 11 players in the draft? We're going to discuss what their biggest remaining needs are and look ahead to rookie minicamp.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Philadelphia 76ers season will feature at least one more game. Joel Embiid put forth a monstrous performance to lead Philly to a Game 5 win over the Boston Celtics. When Embiid is healthy, there's no one on any other Eastern Conference team that can stop him. We saw the best version of the 76ers on Tuesday night. We'll see if they can bring it against Boston game number 6 at home on Dead Man.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Outer loop of the Beltway before Security Boulevard, a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. It's heavy from Reisterstown Road. 95 northbound before Route 2, Hanover Street, left side's blocked, clearing some debris there. And 95 northbound at Key Highway, there's an accident clearing out of the way. 95 southbound heavy now after Route 40, Pulaski Highway to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris will join us later on in this segment. But right now, Jeremy, college athletics has been hit with a gambling issue. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby is to enter gambling addiction program. One of the college football's top returning players is checked into a residential treatment program for gambling addiction. Sorsby's decision to seek treatment, according to sources, came in the wake of the discovery of Sorsby making thousands of online bets. Let me say this one more again. Thousands of online bets on a variety of sports via a gambling app, which jeopardizes his eligibility with Texas Tech. The NCAA is investigating Sorsby gambling, according to sources, as the organization forbids athletes from betting on both college and pro sports. Texas Tech said in a statement that the university is committed to supporting Brendan through his recovery process and to assure his long-term health and well-being. And this is according to ESPN.com. So my question to you, Jeremy, now that gambling is legalized, you have people making legal money out of it. I believe those people now, you can now investigate and bring things to light. My belief is that, and I told you this before, and you can disagree with me, but I think legalized gambling has revealed an issue that we have more so than caused an issue.
So I, and not to cop out on this, I think it's both. I think more of it is revealing an issue that's always been there. And the problem, the reason I'm saying it's both is, if you think about it, you're walking around with a sports book in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're holding your phone in your hand, you have the option of having 10 different sports books and ways to bet right now. And then you look at these athletes. Now they're getting NIL money. So some are getting more money than you expect. Other ones are still starved and wanting to make money. Some of them have been betting since whatever, high school. But back in the day, it was harder. You had to find a local guy, or you had to live in a place where sports betting was legal. And then now, no matter what, like if you're one of these guys, you're going to Gamblers Anonymous and, mm-hmm. hey, I can't go to Vegas and I can't go to Atlantic City. Like that stuff doesn't even matter mm-hmm. because you can bet right on your phone now. Like everything is readily available. And this story, it makes me wonder because I don't know what Sorsby's prospects were of making it to the next level. I do think he would have got drafted.
Right.
I think some team would have kicked the tires on him. I don't know if that happens now. Are they trying to get ahead of the sanctions? Because if this were the NFL, that can't be suspended. I mean, look, Jameson Williams lost, what, 6 games? Mm-hmm. And then we had Calvin Ridley lose an entire season? Mm-hmm. So what happens to a college player that's doing this now?
This is Mike Vrabel going to therapy.
Yeah.
This is it.
I mean, this is them getting ahead of it yeah. and trying to say, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going through, we're going to go to therapy. We're going to go to Gamblers Anonymous. We're going to do all this stuff to try to, and that's great. Make it better for him. He was betting on his own team in college, but he wasn't playing at that point in time.
See, here's the problem. You said to me, you just said some of these guys were probably gambling in high school. Exactly. If he has a problem, he's making thousands of online bets. This ain't his first rodeo. This is a guy that is you know, you can say, well, since it became legal, he became addicted. No, I don't know about that, man. Mm-hmm. If you're making he found a way to make something that's legal illegal. That says to me a guy who had a problem already.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's legal. You can sit there. Jeremy, I can't bet on baseball.
But
I'll drop some money on the NCAA tournament. I know what the boundaries are. So because I don't have an existing issue, I can play within the boundaries. But if I already have an existing issue, then I'm going to think that I can find a way to beat the system because, hey, man, I know what's going on. I can win this bet for baseball. I can get somebody else to do it. I can do this. I can do that. And you'll get caught up. I don't have an issue. So I'm just going to bet on the NCAA tournament. I'm going to bet on hockey. And you know me, my rule, I'm only going to put like $25, $30 mm-hmm. down each bet. And I'm just going to bet all the odds in the parlay. This to me says this cat already had an issue.
There's that, or there's the opportunity cost for these guys where it's like, hey, you got caught, and it's, oh, I'm addicted. I'm sorry. I'm doing this. And again, as much as I've talked about gambling over the years, it's dangerous. Like, it's a dangerous thing for people. I have an addictive personality.
Hey, I drink bourbon. That's dangerous. So.
Yeah.
Let's bring Ed Norris in. What's going on, Ed?
You guys are in danger.
Yeah. Yes. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby entered a gambling addiction program, Ed. As Jeremy said, he bet on his own team. He wasn't playing at the time. College athletes are forbidden to bet on college and professional sports. And the question is, has legalized gambling started a problem in sports or revealed an existing one? Your thoughts?
I think it just reveals an existing problem. Gambling's always existed. Before you had lotteries, state lotteries, you had numbers. Guys played the daily number based on racetrack, finishing. It's always existed. I think it's just bringing it to light now. So I don't think it's a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if you got to hear what I said, Ed, because I think it's a little bit of both. And I think now that it's legal, it's opened up more problems. It's so accessible. It's so easy to find. It's not, even if you're not looking for it, they find you. And the fact that your phone's listening to you anytime you mention, my wife and I went to dinner at a restaurant. I don't mind. We went to the Melting Pot the other night. You know what's on my phone now? Nonstop Melting Pot ads. And it's like, I ain't seen any of this stuff in years.
So
like,
if that exists, what makes you think, if you're Sorsby, that you can do something on your phone and get away with it? If you can't go into the Melting Pot without them picking up on your phone, what makes you think?
By the way, it was delicious.
Oh, yeah, Melting Pot is delicious.
It's frustrating to me because, like, seeing this and seeing firsthand how it's affected people and what people have gone through, losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And until you've dealt with addiction, and I mean real addiction, and seeing what someone goes through, seeing someone that you care about, that you love, that you realize they're a good person, but they can't control themselves.
Is it only addiction if...
If you're losing, yes. No, I'm sorry.
No, if it costs you other things.
No.
Like, if you're the person, yeah, I'm going to place a bet every day. I'll put $50 down, but it doesn't cost me anything.
I'll give you an
example. Does that make it an addiction?
Well, it's functional alcoholics.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I would say this, too, about gambling, because there are people, let's say it's not costing you money. Let's say it's not ruining your everyday life. What if it's affecting your mental when you're around your family? Yeah. Now you're too worried about the games that are going on, so you're not spending time with your family. You're on your phone nonstop when you're supposed to be, having dinner with your, like all these things that happen.
You know why I'm very selective, Ed, in when I bet? Like, I haven't placed a bet probably since the NCAA tournament. I haven't. Mm-hmm. But you know why I'm so selective? I still value winning and losing. So I don't want to be the guy that, yeah, my team won, but it didn't win by enough. So now I'm upset even in a win. And I'm very sensitive about that. That's why I don't gamble too much, because I still like the value, just the quality, just the win. They won by one. So what? But if I have money on it for them to win because the spread is 3.5, now, yeah, they won, but damn, they didn't win by enough. So that's why I'm really sensitive and doing it too much. I think it takes away from the game for me personally.
It is too accessible, though. I think that's the big problem.
So are liquor stores.
Yeah.
Now, so are weed stores.
Yes, right.
The NCAA is starting to take the steps to expand the NCAA tournament to 76 games. Your thoughts on that at 7:15, but on the other side, the Ravens signed two undrafted free agent quarterbacks yesterday. New members of the team. We'll tell you what those contracts mean up next on The Fan.
Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057.
And treat yourself and taste the Baltimore tradition that is the legendary Costas Inn. For over 55 years, the Costas Inn's been a Baltimore original, dishing out their legendary, fat, delicious, award-winning crab cakes and steamed crabs from the location on North Point Boulevard. It's warming up outside. You can always enjoy some hot steamed crabs in the comfort of their dining room. Costas has steamed crabs available daily at the original location on North Point Boulevard. And if you haven't checked out their new location at the Fairgrounds in Timonium, what are you waiting for? It's on the second floor of the grandstand. You need to check it out. It features all your favorites from the original Costas Inn, including crab cakes, sandwiches, tons of TVs with live sports, a new draft system holding 12 beers on tap, and plenty of parking. So swing on by and check them out. They're open for lunch and dinner daily on the second floor of the grandstand. Catch all the baseball games at either location. Don't forget, whatever the occasion, the Costas Inn can deliver crab cakes for your loved ones anywhere in the country. Check out both Costas Inn locations today. And when you do, make sure you tell them Jeremy sent you.